Hello, listener. Welcome to the Messy Truth Leadership Podcast. I am Gavin. I am here with Nikki. Hey, Nikki.
Hey, how are you?
Well, thanks. And Megan. Hey, Megan.
Hi, Gavin and Nikki.
And we are also here with a special guest, Kiyun Jung, who joins us to have a conversation about her leadership journey and how self-awareness has been an integral part of that, because this podcast is a leadership podcast, and we particularly focus on self-awareness as the starting place for us becoming really effective at leading teams. So welcome, Kiyun. How are you?
Hello, guys.
Hi, thank you for joining us.
It's lovely to see you. It's lovely to see you. Just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do now, Kiyun.
Yes, my name is Kiyun. I'm originally from Korea. I'm currently pursuing an entrepreneurship in Cambridge, Massachusetts area.
A great place we always like to start is, you know, what's your personal journey? What, you know, you're leading this startup now, and what Gavin's told us about you is that he's seen a remarkable story and journey of yours. So can you just tell us about your journey? What got you here today?
I was born in Korea and built a career in the semiconductor processor design field for 16 years. When I was born, Korea's GDP per capita was under $2,000, but now it is around 35K, almost 20 times higher. I was born very weak and had to stay in the hospital for first 2 to 3 years after my birth. And it was difficult to participate in group activities with friends until elementary school. Therefore, my parents always prioritized my health and strongly scored staying up late reading books or studying hard until late night. Therefore, I studied electronics engineering and economics dual degree in order to understand both technological development and macroeconomics together by myself. Fast forward, I've been good at that job, and I've been selected, an outstanding core talent pool at LG Electronics for 12 years and nurtured as a next generation leader. Thanks to this, I not only participated in task forces to discover various new business model for the whole LG Electronics business, but also received opportunities for education and experiences in people management from my junior year, in addition to technological leadership. This led me to MIT to pursue an MBA degree with the sponsorship. However, I found my mission for the next decades during my MBA program, so I decided to embark on an entrepreneurial journey to solve the aging problem by applying my previous expertise and personal experiences. I have no idea what we'll do in 1 year, but I'm enjoying it now. And also, I deeply appreciate how LG educated and supported me. So I hope to contribute to LG in other ways someday. And I really wanted to emphasize that during my year at Sloan, my goal was to discover the direction for my next decades. And thankfully, I was able to achieve that goal because I'm very grateful to believe that self-awareness, which was emphasized throughout the whole Sloan Fellow program, guided me on this new journey.
Can I just ask you about the being a semiconductor engineer? Because that seems to me to be a, you know, an important moment where you're pretty much the only woman, right, among all these engineers. So could you just tell us what you learned about yourself while working in that environment?
Really great question. When I was junior, I tried to learn how men communicate and how men work, because the majority of that society was composed by males. So I have to learn their rules. But as time goes, I realized that I have some distinguished strengths, because I have some empathy and sympathy by nature. So this kinds of things help me even in professional situation, for example, because of the work, I have to imagine and I have to thought in advance about the uncertainties and possibilities of the errors in from the perspective from the outside. So I always have to think in overview in high level, but my this kinds of personality helped me to think outside view deeply. It really helped me to develop my skills and leadership, even in engineering side.
I'm also interested in that decision to spend at least 1 year when you decided to move to the US, to a completely different environment. So what was that decision? Why did you make that decision? What were you expecting to learn or leave behind?
Yeah, I have really interesting story. When I entered the LG Electronics, I participate some courses for this kind of leadership and some educational. I wrote a journal about my 10-year plan. I really surprised that I literally made a plan which I've been through for the last 10 years. And my next goal after that 10 years was going to MBA program from by supporting from my company after proving my some performance. And also my dream school was MIT even back then. So it was my beautiful plan and my goal, and my dream, came true. But more specifically, why that moment? Why not after master degree? Why after 16 years career? So I want to, how can I say, prove myself first. So I want to build some professional career, and I want to make sure to myself you're ready to jump up.
Right.
So personally, the time was, amazingly perfect time for me. If it is too early, I may not learn a lot like this. I may just focusing on, oh yeah, I got the degree from MIT like this. But after the all my professional journey, I can just focusing on myself, and I can be humble from the scratch. It's so ironically, but here nobody knows about my previous work, my achievement. I just met my friend as a person, and we interconnected each other deeply as a person. So it is also really valuable experiences for especially mid-career people. Usually in our age, our people so used to behave as a playing role playing in society. But depends on social expectations, and we also already have lots of social rules. But yeah.
That's so interesting. That's a really interesting perspective. So I'm curious about, I mean, it ended up being at Sloan was an opportunity to really focus on yourself and how you were connecting with other human beings, very much outside of both the culture as well as the organizations that you'd been in. Can you talk a little bit about what was either helpful, in sort of looking at yourself m much more expansively, or, was there a skill that you learned or a habit that you developed that sort of helped you stay focused on yourself?
Not common for everyone, but I literally feel psychological safety within my cohort. It's really amazing because I'm not fluent in English. So it means I cannot express my thought and opinion clearly as I expected, but I feel that psychological safety within my cohorts, it made me just humble. Yeah, this is what I am, like this, who I am, regardless of my position, my previous work, my major, regardless of that, I just can focus on what is the born nature, personality of myself, removing all the expectations, removing all the social norms. So I can just focus on myself. And I found out that my most the most interesting for me is creating something. I confused that before. I maybe wanted to earn more money, or I may want to get some more power to control or manage many people as I can. But I realized that I really enjoy creating something.
That is such an interesting way of describing psychological safety. I have not heard that quite before. And we talk amongst ourselves quite a bit about sort of the systems and the norms and the expectations, and yet also trying to create psychological safety in teams and organizations. And what you said, if I understood the way that you meant it, is when there's psychological safety, which you certainly felt with your cohort, some of those expectations and norms fall away, and you just get to be yourself. And in just being yourself, you sort of let, oh my gosh, there's this thing, this unmet need of mine, or this new thing about myself, you know, that is there, and now I'm pursuing it intensely. That I love the idea of the norms falling away, because it's something that we talk about, and I hadn't heard it said quite that way. And then the self-discovery that ends up taking place, not just the safety with other people, but it's the safety to have something new emerge in you.
Yes, exactly.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I'm curious what that felt like for you, because so much of your story up until that point, which I'm also curious about, is you sort of going against the grain, going against the norms. And so I'm just curious, like, if you can recall what it felt like to have those norms drop away and not have to fight against them.
How can I say? I took a time to evaluate all the norms inside of mine. Is this real value for me? It is just voice from outside. If I assume I already take all of them, am I happy like this? So I honestly, I spend too much time to fight to the social norm. through my whole life. But after, maybe I feel like maybe I did my best for that. And also somewhat I've done good in some way. But so what? So for what? So if I succeed or the compete or the, if so, am I happy? It is okay to live that kind of life for another decades. Well, am I happy? This kind of question.
Yeah, it's interesting that, as you said earlier, Kiyun, the space that environment that you were in doing the MBA gave you some space to do that, and some frameworks to do that, right? And then, you know, and as Nikki said, I'm fascinated by the way you describe that psychological safety as kind of allowing you to create from within whatever it is that you found in there. So there's the space. One needs space to do it, but also the framework. So you talked a bit about is this truly what is important for me or not? Is it a voice outside me or is it my voice? And I think that's a great way to start that sort of conversation with oneself, right? To learn. Can I ask you also where, so now you're a CEO, right? Okay, I appreciate it's a small entity right now, but let's assume it's going to grow and you will have more people. What do you think from those experiences you've had for the last, 16, 18 years, and what you've learned about yourself, how will you be that CEO? What will you bring to that role that that you think would be different than maybe you'd thought of before, or builds on this understanding of yourself and how you want to lead other people?
I believe that the game theory can be applied to anywhere, even between two peoples. So it means there is a leadership even between two people. So I want to create a good virtuous cycle. For that, I have to give up trust first to make optimal point for all of us. So because I've been through this kinds of, I tried to against the social norm or other people's bias or stereotype. So I will be a leader to be transparent and open without any stereotype or presuming about them.
Right.
I think for leadership perspective, in my opinion, building trust is the most important thing. Yeah, for that, I have to do the first step as a leader. Yes.
Right. So it's your responsibility. You're saying, I think, if I understand this, your responsibility as the leader is to take the first step. So trust is built early on, or the opportunity for trust is built early on. So you'll take the responsibility for doing that. Could you just explain what you mean by game theory is applicable?
Oh, yeah.
What is game theory? I mean, I sort of know, but I don't think I know in detail.
Because people usually made a decision about themselves based on assumption what others will do.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, people assume maybe other people will make a decision only for themselves. This kinds of interest, how can I say? So if everyone just focusing on local optimum, only the optimal solution for them, their individual, it is not achievable to the global optimum, the best way for the group, entire group. So one people should, if we wanted to reach out the optimal, global optimal, everyone should believe that the other guys will also make a decision for the best optimal for the others.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
To make that kind of trust, I have to be consistent. I have to consistently to show my poker.
My hand. Yes.
Yeah, my hand.
Yes. The cards. Show my cards hand. Yeah.
With the consistency, regardless of the outside situation and the environment, I have to show my values with the consistency. Yes.
Could I just take you all the way back many years? You know, Megan said that, your story illustrates how you were fighting against social norms. I mean, living in social norms, but also fighting against them to find what is important to you. Do you know what it is about you, or when that started? When did you start that kind of, this isn't what I want? When did that start for you, and how did you know that?
My mother, I really appreciate my mother. My mother raised me to be a not traditional woman. So she educated me, not reading books, popular books. And she always show make me read some Bibles and the stories of bravery women's. It's so interesting. So when I entered the elementary school, the thing I've learned from the school is totally different from what I learned from my mother's, from my childhood. So that was a culture shock for me. So from that moment, maybe I always have some doubt about what is true between them.
Interesting.
So yeah, I have to learn how to find the better way by myself from early age.
Yeah, that's a striking part of your story to me as well, that sort of cultural influences, your family influence, different messages from your mother and from your father, and then sort of making your way, professionally. I was thinking as I was listening to all of this, oh my gosh, it takes so much energy to keep fighting, like defining yourself separate from like the expectations, and that how free you must have felt coming to the MBA program. To it's like you could take the weight, you were carrying a heavy backpack that you could just, okay, now I get to just define myself for myself rather than all those competing messages. That must feel very good.
The outside voices.
What's striking to me is where you started your story with being born. I think the word that you used was weak, right? That you were so weak you had to stay in the hospital for 2 to 3 years, and everything after that just strikes me as strength. And so I'm just curious, what do you attribute that strength to? Staying alive in a hospital, building that strength. Like, I'm curious, what do you attribute that strength?
Oh, yes, it's connected to my business. Thanks for that question. Because of my situation, my parents really tried to solve that my health problem. So they invest a lot of money in Western medicine and Oriental medicine. And they really tried to find best doctors in South Korea. But the tragedy thing is, the old method is not really helpful for me. Actually, something has some side effect for me. So, even my mother scold me, if you don't have this, you cannot go to school today. This kinds of forcing. Because she loved me a lot and she thought that's the best way for me. And yeah, but also in up In con on the contrary, my father has really strong mental mental. So when he see me when I was young, you have to strengthen your mental first. This is because your mental is weak. You can be better. You can be a stronger person than now. So I have to mingle. I have to navigate it between that voice as well. So I have a story. So I need enough sleep, but in South Korea culture, people think sleep is laziness. But I felt that even I took a like if I under 6 hours, I feel like, oh my God, I feel like I'm drunken. But when I say like this, oh, you exaggerated. Oh, you are so sensitive, whatever. But now we already knew that in the paper, in the research, this is true. If we had lack of sleep, this kind of impact on brain are similar having drinks. So in terms of health care, I have to find the best way, optimal way for myself. So my mother, my father, and other recommendations, the doctors sometimes, but when I tried this, it doesn't work for me. So yeah, I developed this kind of self-experiment approach for myself to survive. That's
And that's your business now,
Yeah,
right? I
it's
mean,
striking that that's your business now.
I see the straight line from that to now.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's the business you're starting, which is this
Yeah.
individualized,
Yes, exactly.
data-based. Yeah,
That's amazing.
fantastic, fantastic. Great. Any other
I think maybe my
questions?
last question for you is, now that you are in the CEO role, starting the business, what practices are you employing now to continue your self-awareness? Like, are you working with a coach? Do you journal? Like, how do you maintain that self-awareness so that you stay on point in becoming this leader that you sort of are committed to being?
Oh, because we are in the real initial stage, I learned that I need to navigate well. So I tried to focusing on gratitude rather than evaluating myself. So when I face some uncertainty and some situation, oh, which is different from what I expected or what I planned, I try to find grateful and appreciate moment. And my perspective is also a little bit changed. More, how can I, long-term view? Because I started this business starting from my personal problem, but ultimately I really wanted to contribute to society. Because aging is not a individual health matter. This is a social problem in every developed country. So if I focus on right question, right problem with good intention and good mission, I try to believe, everything will be happen in good way because business is the matter of people. So I really try to focus on real problem. Yes.
It's wonderful.
We really appreciate you coming on,
Yeah,
Kiyun,
thank you.
to tell
It's
us
been
your
so
story.
inspiring.
Thank you so much having me. And oh, yes. It this whole journey for this podcast as well also helped me to look back. And thank you
Nice.
so much.
Thank you very,
I'm
very much
so
for
glad to hear
coming.
it.
Yeah, good luck with the business.
Thank you.